Welcome to Mental Illness Life. I am Brooke, and today we are going to be talking about teenage depression, and I am going to play for you my interview with my 14 and a half year old son, Broden, which I'm really looking forward to hearing. I don't think there's really anything out there that really compares to this. He's super honest and raw, and he's definitely his mother's child. So I think that's going to be really cool. I feel like I may need to start out each episode with like a little recap, because I think some of you are starting with the most recent episodes and it may be a little confusing. So I'm going to do my best to kind of recap what this podcast is about, who I am, why I'm doing it, all of that. So to just briefly tell you that I have been diagnosed with post-traumatic stress disorder, bipolar 1, anxiety disorder, and adjustment disorder. And these things I have lived successfully with for my entire adult life. I found partying and street drugs in my late teens and early 20s, and that really saved my life. I believe that to my core, and you can hear more about that in the episode called Partying Saved My Life. And so I don't have a salacious story. Other than the fact that I self-medicated and don't really regret any of it, I've never been hospitalized. I've never contemplated suicide. I don't believe in suicide prevention. I believe in mental illness awareness and stigma breaking. But I believe that when a person has decided to commit suicide, that they've decided. And I know that's kind of controversial, but that's what this podcast is about, is talking about the other viewpoints and kind of dialing into other parts of stigma that we may not be talking about. And so I've touched on different therapies that I've done, the drugs I take. I currently, and have for a while, take an anti-seizure medication called Lamictal, which is very effective for bipolar disorder. I also take lithium, and not an entirely heavy dose, but it definitely keeps me stable. I also take a thyroid medication, which people think, you know, that's not necessarily mental illness, but it all combines into one system. So for me, the main drive for this podcast is to really break the stigma of having mental illness. And I've said before, I'm going to probably say it every episode, that everybody needs mental health. Not everybody has or needs to be treated for mental illness. What I'm talking about is having mental illness, living successfully with it, not making a joke out of it. I mean, it is kind of funny, but, and we're going to talk about that next time, about words and how we use them and how we describe things, and, you know, everybody getting so up in arms about just words. So let me tell you about Broden, my sweet boy. Oh my God. So we knew something was wrong in like preschool. And you know that I was single from pregnancy, but his dad, you know, has been in his life. So we've tried our best to co-parent. It's definitely gotten better over the years. But at that time, you know, it was difficult. And preschool, he went to a Montessori school. He would go like away for a holiday, right? Like Thanksgiving break, Christmas break, spring break. And he'd come back and not have retained really anything that they had taught before. So we kind of thought that was strange. And he would do these math problems, like he'd have this board with numbers and be doing these like addition, subtraction math problems, like way higher than his grade level. But he wouldn't be able to tell you the name of the number, like that the number was 7. It was bizarre. So when he finally got to first grade, actually we took him to a child psychiatrist, because his Montessori teacher brought this all to our attention and, you know, said there's definitely something going on here. So I remember we took him to a child psychiatrist, and this fucking guy, he treated me so much differently because I was a single parent. It was wild. And I just remember him being like, I'm not treating your five-year-old. His brain's like not developed yet, and we're not gonna test him. And I thought that was bizarre. But we got him to first grade, and he just couldn't retain anything. And it was the same kind of thing where he was doing these math problems. He was able to do them in his head, but he couldn't tell you the name of the number, or he couldn't like tell you what he was doing. He was adding them or subtracting them. It was just something none of us had ever seen before. And he'd get so frustrated because he couldn't do what the other kids were doing. And like at first grade, right, he was like, he'd grab his chair, like when they were sitting around in like a reading group, because he couldn't read. You know, they did the testing and he was like a 1 out of, I don't know, 10. That he could not read. He was unable to read in first grade. And he would grab his chair and like toddler tantrum up and down with this metal chair. And it was like, you know, everybody thought he had behavioral problems and this and that. And I knew from like the get-go that he was just frustrated. He was just frustrated with his, you know, lot in life, and that he couldn't read. And I knew that if we had just given him some tools, that this would all change. And so miraculously, because I was ready to like put my down payment on my house like into his testing because it's fucking expensive. But the school, amazing Boise, Idaho school district, decided they were going to provide the testing for him, the academic and emotional testing, psychological testing. And so that started. And I remember noticing that like this huge weight lifted off his shoulders at, you know, 6 years old. And they started the testing. They did sensory and executive functioning and behavioral and psychological and working memory. And it was so interesting because they did this, you know, psychological testing, and they asked him, you know, do you like being at school? Do you like your teachers? Do you like this? Do you like that? And he kind of was the opposite, where he loved being at school, but he really hated the homework and he hated the schoolwork, but he loved his friends and he loved being there. And so we knew that there was just something not firing in his brain. And so we came to the conclusion, well, the child psychiatrist did, that he had ADD. It definitely was not ADHD. He was not hyperactive. He had attention deficit disorder and a working memory learning disability. And so what that meant was he would have to be told numerous times. And like, how many of us know what that's like? Well, imagine, and it probably came on later in life, right? Imagine what that's like for a first grader, second grader, that he could not grasp the thing that was just being told to him. And it was very frustrating for him. So we started him and went to his general practitioner doctor. It was very interactive, which I loved. And we put him on a medication called Vyvanse, which was, is a extended release, similar to Adderall, but it's definitely more level. It's the only way I can describe it. It's new. There's no generic for it. And he was like a different child. He started it, and you guys, it's like giving a kid speed, right? But it treats them, you know, we react differently to speed, you know, whichever way our brain works. And the next day he got to class, he got to school, and the teacher called me and said, he is a different kid. He's multitasking. That was a big thing. People don't realize that attention deficit disorder can manifest in so many different ways. For him, it was almost like auditory processing disorder. Okay. Like, we couldn't get him to not focus on one thing. Does that make sense? Like, he would be watching TV and you'd say, Broden, Broden, Broden. And he couldn't move from the TV. He was so hyper-focused that he couldn't do anything else. So in class the next day, he was able to do his work, then look up and answer a question, go back to his work, then look over here and answer another question. It was like the world opened up for him. I remember that second grade, and he was, you know, doing really well. And it was almost like he had all this to catch up with, and his brain just started working overtime, but in a good way. And I remember going to the school to have like lunch with him on his dad's weeks. And they all were a little concerned because he was walking around the playground by himself, talking to himself. And of course that was concerning to me too. But when I realized, so I'd go there and kind of sit on the playground with him. And I realized that he was just processing all of the things that he couldn't process before. And I don't believe that any of that would have been possible without the medication. And for those of you sitting there saying, oh, I'm not giving my kid medication, I'm not doing this, not doing that. Remember, we're just a big bag of chemicals, okay? You give your kids sugar in any way, shape, or form, and it's a chemical. It's a chemical reaction in their body. I don't care if it's in fruit. It's chemicals. That's it. So just get over it and realize that you are going to give your child a tool to be able to live their lives better. So we went through, so he's still kind of catching up, but he's definitely at grade level. We had to take him off the Vyvanse a year ago because he was not gaining weight. There's obviously side effects. I didn't say this was a magic pill. It's not a magic pill. He wasn't gaining weight, so we took him off of that. And a few months later, and he's going to tell you this himself in our interview. So I want to get into that, okay? And then once that's over, I'm going to come back and tell you about what else happened. Okay, so here we go. My interview with my son, Broden. Please enjoy. Okay, so we're sitting with my son, Broden. Why don't you tell the listeners your age, what grade you're in, what you like about school?
I'm 14, mm-hmm. I'm in 8th grade, and I like building stuff.
You like building stuff at school? And you have...
I like to build stuff normally.
But like what at school, because we're going to talk about like why you didn't go to school today and all of that stuff. What do you like doing at school, even if it's just like your lunch period?
Basically, my friends are my life.
So what do you like at school? Like why do you like to go to school?
Well, because that's like basically where I can see my friends, because they're just so busy all the time that I can't go to their house, or that's where I can just go to see them. And that's where I know it's like quiet and I can get stuff done, and when I'm getting stuff done, I don't think about things that may make me feel like depressed or down.
So, yeah. When nice. You've told me about that, like being depressed, and... We should say that Broden has been...
Sorry to interrupt, which is why I really liked Saturday school thing, because they're just so quiet, like, and ominous.
Yes, that was weird that you had, like, you had all these late, like, times to go to school, and so you were, like, forced to go to Saturday school, and you ended up loving it.
Oh, yeah, it was like, so awesome, because it was, it was, like, super quiet, and, like, you weren't allowed to talk. And
right.
Like, the principal was nice, so I could, like, get my stuff done.
And do you feel like you have, like, sensory overload sometimes where there's just too much going on?
Yeah, which is kind of why I like my computer so much, is because it's, like, modest.
Well, yeah.
Or at least, like, it's a biome, if you will, that I've grown used to.
Control of it.
Yeah, I can make... the guy turn right, left, jump up, and it makes you feel good when you like do something that you accomplish in the game.
Right. So going back through, like, you used to take a medicine for ADD, and you remember that, right?
Right.
And it made you feel like, can you remember? Because you stopped taking that about a year and a half ago.
It didn't make me feel bad. Yeah. I would just be so concentrated because, as you know, it was the speed.
Yeah.
I would just feel so concentrated that I would just look at, like, I would just be like, what's going on? And I would be bouncing off the walls.
Yeah.
Sometimes, literally, I would be like, wow.
Do you feel like it did not help after a while?
Well, I think how long was I taking it?
Probably 6 years. Well, from, like second grade to seventh grade.
I think, yeah, when I was, like, 12, it started just becoming more of a speed than...
Yeah, anything else.
Anything else. So it kind of just backfired and made me even more...
Well, and you weren't gaining any weight, and so that's why the doctor took you off of that. But I remember, like, 6 or 7 months later, you were kind of complaining about being sad, and so we went back to the doctor, and... He gave you some antidepressants. Do you remember why you didn't like those?
they just made me feel really weird in the head.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I don't remember because I haven't taken them in like months on end. But
yeah.
I think it was that they made me feel cloudy, which
yeah,
really didn't help because
right.
I was already getting distracted from my ADD.
Right.
Which, for some reason, I started not being able to control anymore.
I know. Do you feel like other kids at school have the same kind of issues, but you guys just can't talk about it?
Well, yes, and they try and like sort of show it by being like, oh, I'm cool and stuff.
Right, like
yeah.
Masking it somehow.
Yeah. Just sticking with their friends as like for like emotional support, and it works. It really helps people. So
yeah. What would you suggest to parents? Like, do you have any suggestions?
Well, if the kid is, like, visibly feeling, like, if he looks like he's about to just have a mental breakdown,
mm-hmm.
or even, like, if he's just super sad,
yeah.
you can tell, and he's like, I don't want to go to school.
Yeah.
It's not going to do any good to send him off to school, because he's going to be too depressed to even, he's just going to be sitting at the desk like,
And you feel like you do that sometimes.
Yeah, he's just going to be a zombie all day.
Yeah.
And if you get, like, the kid... Because, as you talk about, it is an illness. It's a
yes.
mental illness.
Yeah.
I would That's argue right. it's worse than a cold or sometimes even the flu.
Absolutely.
It can be totally crippling.
How do you feel like you know that? Is it because of me being so open about it?
No. Because I have almost... Everyone has depression nowadays. Just
oh my God, yeah.
Because this of the struggle of life and like stuff being thrown at them from all directions.
Yeah.
And you get up and then you're like every day and you're like, okay, gotta go to school.
Yeah.
And then you gotta deal with the turmoil of life and
yeah.
homework and.
And it's hard for you sometimes.
Yeah. It's hard for everyone unless they're like one of my friends who's just a super genius. Actually, I don't know why. Just all my friends are like super geniuses.
Yeah, they are pretty smart, huh?
And I'm the kid that's sitting in the normal classes. Them like two grades above me. Actually, I think they are two grades above me now.
Do you think I've always worried that that has been a problem for you? That like having these friends that are like super genius, that they're in like these higher grades, do they ever make you feel bad about that?
No, it actually makes me feel like, okay, if I work as hard as they do, maybe someday I'll get to their level.
Oh, you definitely will.
And one of my friends is definitely like emotionally supportive. Cause
oh, yeah.
He's always like, hey, you can do it. Or,
yeah.
Like, you feel
yeah.
all right, dude. So,
checking on you.
Yeah, which is also kind of like me, because I'm sort of a mini therapist, if you will.
Ah.
Like, I always like, how was your day every day?
Yeah.
I don't totally like to ask my friends, like, oh, why are you feeling so down? Like,
yeah.
The other friend gets, not going to say aggressive with like.
Oh, yeah.
Asking like, how was your day? Why
right.
are you so angry? Cause
right.
Then it can get kind of awkward if they actually do like say, oh.
Right.
Which might make them feel bad even worse, I've found, so.
Well, do you think, though, that, like when we talk about you going to see the doctor that you saw in first grade, do you think that it's just a regular doctor? Like, have you ever thought to yourself, oh, this is a different type of doctor?
Not
like,
really.
It's just a doctor, right?
Right. They're, to me, especially when I was young, I always thought, oh, it's just a doctor. They got a white lab coat. They've
yeah.
got maybe some glasses on.
Yeah, just the same as your regular, like,
they
doctor
speak,
to see a cold, for a cold.
Yeah, they speak in large words that I don't understand.
Totally. But, like, taking the medicine and stuff, you just knew it as taking medicine. Like, I think we called it your brain medicine. You kind of always felt like that was just normal. Like, people did that, right?
Yeah. I was like, oh, gotta take my medicine. Like.
Do you think people in elementary school and stuff, you know the word stigma, right? Stigma means, like...
I am not familiar with that one.
So, stigma means, like, that they have, like, a preconceived, like, when I tell people, oh, I take, you know, I have bipolar, the stigma is they go, oh, like, what?
Are you, like, mentally insane?
Yes, exactly.
Are you delusional? Do you need mental assistance?
Totally, totally. And there's this stigma, this, like, prejudice, I guess. But do you feel like when you were taking medicine and you had, you know, your quote-unquote learning disability, which I think is silly because you're so smart in so many ways.
Yeah, I just can't pay attention enough.
Yeah. Like, exactly.
If I, like, found something that was related to it, I found it interesting. Like, I went through this thing where I was interested in gears because I was like, oh, so you can, like, make a super weak engine to one of, like, strongest engines in the world. So I basically studied it in, like, basically the entire concept in one night.
Interesting. So you think that this kind of like depression and anxiety and stuff with kids is pretty normal?
Yes.
And do you think that it can be, like, that people your age can be helped with medicine and therapy and that kind of stuff?
Well, yes.
Do you think that, like, what would you say to a parent where their kid is just, like, does not want to get out of bed? And like, should that parent take them to see a doctor? Or just tell them to suck it up?
Well, two things. No. Just multiple things.
Okay, multiple things.
I don't know how long it'll ramble on for. If you say suck it up, they'll probably get super depressed and, like, go on to a even harder stage of depression.
Cause yeah.
If you just keep on neglecting, like, oh, my son has depression. No way.
Yeah,
no.
That's the stigma part I was talking about.
Yeah, my son's not crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, and if you say, oh, we're going to go to a doctor, well, that's the thing. They're in the bed for the reason, because they, like, because sleep is probably one of their ways that they get, like, rid of sadness, if you will.
Yeah.
So if you just, like, let them sit in bed.
Yeah.
Just, like, a couple days later, just, like, let them do their homework, take them to the doctor, get some good antidepressants going, then, yeah, I think that would...
And do you feel like, because a lot of this is trying one medicine and then if that doesn't work, try a different one?
Yes.
That's something that a teenager should try is...
Yes.
Try it, try this, maybe the next thing, maybe therapy.
Now, I think every 2 years of being a teenager, you should go, year, like, go do a checkup, like, take one of the scans that I took... from my doctor. Can I say his name? Or is
yeah,
that...
yeah. Yeah,
his name's Dr. Streeter. Definitely the best guy.
Yeah.
He is... I know you can't see it, but I'm doing
it. He's okay, got the okay sign. Yeah. He is very cool.
But yeah, he's the best. And he got me on some antidepressants, which worked. They made me feel a little bit cloudy, if I remember correctly. Mm-hmm. As I said, actually, I think in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Which,
But so. you'd be willing to try something different when we go to see him again.
Yes.
And what you're saying is, like, you think that teenagers should get, like, their head checked, essentially, the same as, like, getting a wellness check.
I wouldn't use a head check because that sort of is aggressive towards.
Okay, gotcha.
Back like, oh, you're insane.
Yeah.
Why are you sad all the time?
Yeah.
But I would just, wellness check. That's a good.
Like, it would be a part of the checkup.
Yeah, like.
Yeah, for health,
just,
too.
Just, like, give them a little scan that Dr. Streeter gave me.
Yep.
I went over there.
Yep.
So.
That's really good to know. And do you feel like if kids feel comfortable telling their parents that is a big help? Like, that you feel comfortable telling me?
Now, if you're listening to this and you've got, like sadness, like, and you just think it's, like, normal, like, it must have been something, like, the day before. No, that's probably something going on in your head.
Yeah. Yeah. And get it checked and figure something out.
And if your mom and dad says, oh, no, if you just... have a mom or just a dad.
Yeah.
Just be like, okay, then I'll ride my bike or ask.
Do you feel like there's somebody at school, like a counselor, like member?
Yes, a counselor or a nurse.
Like, you could go somewhere else.
Or, I don't know if this is even legal, like, ask your friend's parents to take you.
Yeah. You know, I'm not sure. We'd have to check on that. But what you're saying is find... Find someone to talk to. Yeah,
find someone. A definite thing is definitely get like a maybe support dog if... Or support cat or buddy.
Yeah, that's a really good idea. Like ask for a pet.
Or a gerbil.
Something. Snake.
Excuses.
Yeah. That's really a good point. If you can't talk to your parents, then find somebody to talk to. Even a friend. Even if you feel like that friend might think you're weird, at least try, right? Like, maybe?
No.
Don't try your friend. Okay, good. That's good to know.
No, if you think...
If you think they're going to think you're weird, that may make you feel worse.
Yes. Okay. They might backstab you.
Ah, gotcha. Because, you know... 14-year-olds. That's all you have to say.
They just got their shiv ready. It's just like, come on. Turn your back, Jimmy.
You never know.
Jimmy the Timmy.
So, do you feel better today after having slept a little bit and doing some work on the computer?
Yeah, sort of, yeah.
And you told me once that your depression kind of hits you hard when you wake up. And you have to, like... chillax for a minute or so. Is that every day?
No.
Well, it actually
goes at very random. I once had this thing where I was totally happy the other day.
Yeah?
Like I found a show that I really liked.
Yeah.
Everything was like perfect that day. Then woke up the next day with like the hardest depression in like several months.
Oh, I didn't know that. But what do you do? Do you just like, what do you do?
I just try and lay in bed.
Yeah. Was that the first day you stayed home?
No, I think this was on a weekend.
Oh, okay. Yeah. And so you just slept.
I was like,
yeah.
All right, if I sleep this out.
Well, I appreciate these 10 minutes that you've spent with me.
It's only been 10 minutes.
Do you have anything else to say?
So, support dog, cat, dribble thing, creature with at least 4 legs.
Okay.
Don't get a human. Well, I guess you could get a therapist, like, put them in the closet, like...
Perfect.
Open the closet. Hello, what is your... What from a scale from 1 to 10? Oh, get a Baymax. That'll be perfect. Get a Baymax.
I don't know what that is. Is that a 14-year-old thing?
No.
What's a Baymax?
Oh my God, you don't know what a Baymax is.
No.
Do you not remember Big Hero 6?
No. I mean, I remember the movie, but what was in it?
What's Baymax.
Okay.
It was a robot made by the brother, and he was...
Oh, yeah. Yeah, get that.
Gah, that's Mom. That's Gah.
Just like the silverware.
Gah, I did it.
Anyway, so the point of the story is that it's better just to be open about how you feel, right?
Right.
Even if it's just yourself, like being open with yourself, going, this may not be right. Like, and don't feel bad about feeling bad.
I just realized that even if like your parents feel like you know like they're gonna think it's super weird,
mm-hmm.
and they're not gonna take you to a doctor, and they may take you to somewhere else.
Yeah.
Although in some cases, just if you've already been religious and you like just talk to your pastor.
Yeah.
It may be the best thing because. I have a pastor, can I say his name?
Yeah.
Okay, I just don't know what's allowed and what's not allowed. Pastor Max, also a really great guy. I have tons of great people in my
life. Your new church that your dad and stepmom go to?
I've been going to their youth group. Mm-hmm. The people there are super nice. That is nice.
That is really good. And you, what you're saying is find a group, find if it's with your church, if it's with the...
Yeah.
Or like sports just or...
Don't make it feel like it's a need. Make it feel like it's a want.
Oh, okay. That's a really good point.
And I don't know what the circle things are. Like where you sit in the circle and talk about your feelings. Don't make it feel like that.
Okay.
Don't find...
No circles of feelings. Got it. More of just action. Like being with people.
Yes.
And just talking about regular things, but making them...
I don't have a PhD or anything.
You don't? Oh.
Because, of course...
What am I talking to you for?
I'm 14. But I would just recommend just talking.
Yeah.
Humans are like people who go in packs.
So yeah. That's a good point.
Just go in a pack.
Yeah.
Find a pack.
That's a really good point.
But not a pack of Coca-Cola, because then you'll get cardiac arrest.
You're so silly.
Or diabetes, unless if it's Diet or Coke Zero.
Got it.
Although I think Coke Zero and Diet are disgusting, so.
Good to know. I'm glad we're recording this.
Yeah, it's very important information.
Mm-hmm. I think this was great, and I appreciate you, and I hope that you're feeling better.
All right.
And I'm the greatest mom in the world. Just go ahead and say it. It's okay. Greatest mom in the world.
Can I say mediocre?
Sure. What were you going to say?
I thought of some more ideas. If you already had like a music genre that you know you really like or really want to listen to, but your parents are sort of restrictive on that sort of stuff.
About that.
Now, have you told them about like what your mom like?
Yeah.
As I think my mom has said, like restricting like sort of all of like the music and like entertainment,
mm-hmm.
sort of.
That if they don't agree with because of religious reasons or whatever.
Yeah. Just try and find something to entertain you. Find something to distract you in the meantime.
Yeah. Like you can, instead of being defiant, just go find something that they do agree with. Because technically you're still their kid and you're not making the decision. So if they don't let you do something, then maybe.
Wait till you're 18. Don't just go off your own like, come on, Mom, do what I want. You can end off even worse at that point. Because then you're dealing with the emotional stress and the. Sometimes even like just drainingness,
mm-hmm.
total drainingness of your parents like weighing you down. Like, hey, don't do that. That's totally inappropriate and bad, and you shouldn't do that.
Cause yeah,
we don't believe in that or anything like that. So just find a way to listen to your music.
Got it.
Just do it in an acceptable way.
Yeah. What other types of things do you use to like feel better? Riding your bike? I know that sometimes.
Yeah, if you need
helps.
To. If you don't like sounds and like loud music and stuff, like maybe if that gives you like a headache, just ride your bike around, take a walk.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a therapy dog, play with it.
Yeah.
Cat, play with it. Or I don't know what you do in
here. Don't just sit and dwell on your depression.
Don't just sit and lay there like I used to. Because now if I'm feeling super depressed, I'll go play with my dog or something.
Yep.
So, which is really nice. Or I'll go to my grandparents where it's super happy there. Like they're all like,
you
want to go watch a movie or want to go eat some food?
You get a little bit spoiled at your grandparents' house.
I'm not going to lie. I get really spoiled.
That
like
is true.
Rotten egg times a thousand.
No, it's good. Okay, what is there anything else that you can think of about actual depression and mental illness and teenagers? Is there anything like anxiety-wise like that people should be looking for?
Well, don't look for it.
Yeah.
Because just try it. Well, if you're looking for it, it will happen.
Yeah, that's a really good point.
Just, it's better to see it come to you, not for.
Oh, that's a really good point. Yep. Like, if you are feeling bad, you're going to say something as opposed to me going.
Or at
like,
least if you're talking to someone, make it seem like they're coming to you.
Yeah.
Because then they'll be more open to actually, like, talk about what the problem is.
Yeah.
Get the best solution.
Yeah, don't, like, push them.
Don't shove them off the edge.
Yeah, because that's definitely not what you want.
Because then it'll do what you think pushing them off the edge will
right,
do.
Right.
It'll make them.
And it'll and down. just be supportive of them.
Yeah, don't make them feel weird.
Yeah.
Mental illness is just like a physical illness.
Exactly.
By deformity, don't stare at it.
Right. Exactly. That's what stigma is. It's just like that, having a deformity and somebody staring at it. It's like we're all just the same, but some of us have a medical condition.
Yeah.
Has it been hard living with a mom with bipolar? You are more.
Well,
you can say whatever you want to say.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Well, it's difficult in the way that I know if I set you off in a certain way, it's going to have a really bad outcome.
Yeah.
So I can't just go out blabbering on and making. Saying anything I want, which actually isn't much of a bad thing because it sort of teaches you more respect and stuff.
Yeah, that's a good point. But I understand there's definitely times where I do fly off the handle at, like, really silly things.
Yeah, and one thing is, which is really hard to, like, think of, for you at least, is you say, oh, that's giving me anxiety, which I will just accept.
Yeah.
Like, blatant patriotism, I'll just be like, okay. I'm
right.
So really sorry.
Right.
Because I don't understand it. I'm not.
Right. You don't have that problem. Yep. I totally get that. And I work on it. Now I'm getting zapped with magnets. So we'll see how that works. I asked him today if they could zap you with magnets. And he said, I don't think my malpractice insurance will cover that. Which means it's not approved, so he's not trying it on you.
Maybe if you buy, like, 4 neodymium magnets.
Like, just make our own.
Maybe if we go to, like, the junkyard where they got, like, the cranes with magnets on the end, and we just go, all right, you good?
You good?
Like, just a car that's launching towards you. Stop.
This is not how it's supposed to work. That's awesome. Well, again, thank you to my beautiful child. I have to say, like, a lot of people have horror stories about their children, and I have been the lucky one to have somebody like you who's open and honest and self-aware and doing the best he can. It's, like, the best thing ever. So I just want to say thank you because you're my favorite person in the whole world.
And also...
Oh, yes.
Get a gravity blanket.
Oh, awesome. A gravity blanket.
Like the super
heavy. I love how, like, I'm telling, giving you a compliment and you're like, and then...
And back to the news. Okay, Jim, what's on?
Gravity blankets.
Gravity blankets. It's a new thing.
I should get you one.
I really want one because they're heavy and they're nice.
Okay, thank you. So I hope you guys enjoyed that. I think that he's brilliant, of course. And so I wanted to tell you that once we stopped recording and he said, oh, that wasn't bad at all. That was, like, really cool, actually. And he said, I thought you were going to ask me, like, really, really hard questions. And I said, do you mean about suicide? He said, yeah. And I said, well, have you ever thought about suicide? And I remember that he had talked to me about this a long time ago. So this isn't, like, the first time I'd ever brought that up. And he told me, well, I've thought about it, but I got past it. And I just, instead of, you know, having some shocking reaction, I just said, yeah, you know, I've thought about it too. A lot of people think about that. But I just don't think I would do that to you. And that got him to say, I wouldn't do that to you either. And he said, before I got to that point, I would ask for help. And you guys, it's all I can fucking ask for, right? That's it. That's all I can ask for, is for him to be open and honest with me and open and honest with himself. That's it. And you heard what he said. You need to heed his advice and never tell your child, just get over it. Suck it up. Don't ever tell your child that. And remember what he told you. If you go looking for it, you're going to find it. You're going to make it happen. So let it just come to you. Be there for your children. That's it. Be as understanding as possible. Be as open as possible. You know how many times I make mistakes and then I have to go back to them and say, you know what? I really screwed that up, buddy. I think that that's what has provided us such a close relationship, because I tell him that I make mistakes. So I hope that you enjoyed this as much as I did. I really loved being able to provide the world with the wisdom of Broden. So I'm going to tell you guys this. I am looking for sponsorships for this podcast. If you can do $5 a month, awesome. Please go to anchor.fm/mentalillnesslife and do that there. And I would be very grateful so that I can keep doing these, hopefully weekly. If you're enjoying it, please go and sponsor on Anchor, and I appreciate it. I hope that you all take care of yourselves and each other.